B-Pod Studios.
Hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins working to score big for a special cause and fans getting the chance to take on some of their favorite players in ping pong. They must be pretty good athletes. We've seen their skills on the ice.
And now the Bees are showing off their moves on the ping pong table. Seven's Tim Caputo is live in Boston with more on this really fun event. Tim.
Yeah, it was a fun event. Wrapped up a little while ago. And I'll tell you guys, some of the kids are actually better than some of the Bruins players at ping pong. Second year they've held this event, just as fun as the first year. And this time they raised even more money than last year. $119,000 raised for Floating Hospital for Children, as well as the Boston Bruins Foundation. This event put on by Patrice Bergeron and 98.5, the Sports Hub, allowed players, really most of the Bruins team here this afternoon, to meet with fans, sign some autographs, take some photos with kids, and also, of course, play in ping pong. It's called Pucks and Paddles for that reason. They kind of had an elimination tournament that got all the way down to the end. Very competitive, as you'd imagine, with these professional athletes. And Patrice Bergeron says, obviously, it's about raising money, but it's also for the kids.
Anytime you have a chance to do that, then you give back to the community, it means a lot. But also when it's about the kids, you know, that it means even more. And obviously, it's a fun event. I think last year was the first year, and everyone had a good time. And you could tell that it made a big difference for the kids. So for us, we're happy to be here.
So the actual championship won by one of the radio personalities, but they had a special match at the end, kind of Canada versus Czech Republic. It was Pasta and Krejci versus Marchie and Bergeron. That one went down to the wire as well. Team Canada ended up winning this. Everyone big winners tonight with all that money raised and a whole lot of fun had by everyone here.
You know the angel saying with this role plan.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And that was last night. That was Pucks and Paddles. Thank you to the Boston Bruins. A lot of money going to the Bruins Foundation, the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
$119,000. It's the most that we've raised since the beginning of Cuts for a Cause, which morphed into Pucks and Paddles. And it was a really fun event. I'm so glad that we switched from Cuts for a Cause.
Yeah.
Which had run its course. It was a great event, but this was a lot of fun with the charity ping pong game. So we have to talk about what happened last night.
Yes. All right. So there is a man, John from Vegas, who was called into many shows saying that Sarge sucks.
Yep. He is the guy who got through to Hannity. He got through to Mike Francesa. He's been all over the place, and he has formed somewhat of a, what's the word? Well, animosity towards Sarge.
Right.
And he wants the world to know that. And he has called other stations, and he's called our show, and he's done a lot of different things. And so we found out when we first got there that John from Vegas was indeed there. Now, I didn't quite know why he was there or what his role was. I just knew that this dude had shown up. So meanwhile, I run into Sarge and he's walking around. And so I just said, hey, Sarge.
With the Wong father,
although I did not see Andy Wong. I know he was there, though.
Yes.
And Sarge goes, hey, I heard that guy's here. And, you know, and he started like talking about him. I'm like, hey, would you mind if I could just record you and get your opinion? John from Vegas, the guy who's like basically made the whole Sarge sucks thing a huge deal, is here. And here's what Sarge had to say. So, Sarge, what were you just saying?
Well, I got my bodyguard here. He's hired, no charge, from the Sarge. The Wong father's here, too, by the way, with the Wong mother.
Always love seeing the Wong
mother. With the Wong mother, Rich.
Okay, but you said that there's someone here that...
I will not refer to a terrorist by first name, so I'm just not going to do that. Okay. But I've been told that someone here that's been harassing me, trying to take advantage of me, is here. He better run for his life. I got my bodyguard here. What a tool!
All right, so who's he pointing to as his bodyguard?
Some dude. Just like a guy who's like a listener of the show. And I don't know. I mean, he's obviously just making it up that it's his bodyguard.
Because
I'd spoken to the guy earlier. He hadn't mentioned anything about Sarge. I think he just was a guy standing next to him. And so, I mean, he doesn't really have a bodyguard.
Okay. He was having a little fun.
So this should be interesting. This should be an interesting moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, where is he? He's not going to show his face. A coward.
No. He'll show his face.
Yeah. I probably only a face a mother would love. What an ugly man.
So I don't know where.
He is very into Henny Youngman.
Right.
It's like Catskills comedy.
The first like a mother. Hold on. Hey.
Take my wife, please.
He is now, but I saw him earlier. He's here. And I'd never met him until tonight, so I didn't even know what he looked like.
And your eyes are okay? They're not hurting from looking at that ugly piece of crap?
He's not that bad looking. He's actually kind of an all right looking guy.
What are you, Rich? Rich, you're a happily married man.
He's kind of fit, too. Yeah. So.
I mean, listen, you know.
I'm kidding. Rich, I'm sure the guy's a nice guy. I'm sure he is, but you know what? Record that.
It is.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but you know what? The fact that he did show up for charity, that's a good move. I give him a Sarge salute for that.
It is. He donated a lot to a charity, apparently, just to aggravate
you. It doesn't aggravate me. I don't care. The guy needs free time and too much free time in his hands. What a tool.
And Sarge donated a lot of money for me to beat him up.
Okay. Yeah, in Saga Swings.
Oh, excellent. All right. Hey, when you see Andy Wong, tell him Rich said hello.
Right,
well, I got to get on stage, but in a few minutes.
Okay, so there's Sarge running around. And then we start to learn the full story of why John from Vegas was there. If you recall, about 2 months ago, there was a little bit of animosity between John from Vegas and Mark the Beatle Bertrand because he kept emailing him saying, why won't you admit that Sarge sucks on the radio? We are going to continue to have me and our legion of, I don't know what he calls them, the Sarge Circle,
yeah,
continue to bombard your show until you admit that Sarge sucks.
By the way, John from Vegas carrying a big Sarge Sucks sign.
Yes, yeah, which he got signed by all the Bruins, by the way.
That's right. He shows up, he's got a giant Sarge Sucks sign, which is everywhere. And if you watch Behind the Bee, it's probably in every frame.
Yep.
So, and Beetle wouldn't do it. Beetle would not say that Sarge sucks. So that really pissed off John from Vegas.
Yep.
So John from Vegas apparently heard on the radio. Once again, I'm all hearing this secondhand. But he had apparently heard on the radio that Mark Bertrand, you know, he was one of the contestants that mm-hmm. you could bid on for Pucks and Battles. That Mark Bertrand obviously wanted to do it because of the charity, but he had some place that he had to go. So he was hoping...
he had a babysitter that only could do it for a certain amount of time.
Right. He had to leave early.
So he was hoping...
So the idea was, you know, A, I'm not very good at ping pong. I'll get out of here quick. Like, you know, me, we didn't keep score. I couldn't have so bad.
Yeah. So little did we know, John from Vegas won the bid for Mark the Beatle Bertrand. But to make things even worse, to make sure that Beatle couldn't leave, he found online a professional ping pong player to be his partner so that Bertrand would have to stay for almost the entire thing.
That's genius.
So
genius move.
So John from Vegas was not Mark Bertrand's partner. It was some guy who, when I asked what his name was, he goes, I don't know, whatever you want to call me. He was a paid gun.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's
sure,
a hired gun.
Round one, Bertrand wins. Round two, Bertrand wins. Round three, I'm like, all right, well, it ends here. Because Pasternak is who he has. Pasternak was the champion last year. And Pasternak is amazing at ping pong.
Yep.
And he takes on Beetle in the third round. And I'm like, well, there, here's where it ends. This dude smokes David Pasternak. Like, he's not even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Bertrand's partner. He's just, like, looking in other directions, hitting corners. I don't know where they found this guy or how much they paid him. Mark Bertrand wins. Sure enough, Bertrand and this guy that John from Vegas hired get to the final four. Meanwhile, Beetle's probably going, I was supposed to be home an hour ago.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, Beetle handled it well. But,
he did.
Yeah, he's probably like, all right, this is going to end.
And so finally, they get there's the final four. Mark Bertrand wins. The final game is Bertrand and this ringer
and
versus Grizzlick and like someone else. And the winner of the 2019 Bucks and Battles
is
Mark Bertrand and the guy hired by John from Vegas.
Yeah. By the way, a trophy given out.
I know.
So, Bertrand walking away with some hardware.
The best was him sitting in the middle of all the Bruins holding up the trophy like, huh?
Which, by the way, everyone at Behind the View is like, damn it, a Bruin didn't win. We didn't get the money shot. You heard on like the thing that they did, the broadcast, that was like, a radio station employee won, but you know, the Bruins had a great time. So... But this is then things got really weird. So we have to do the trophy presentation, and John from Vegas comes walking up, and he has the giant Sarge Sucks sign. So this is the grand moment where everyone wants to get their cameras out, yeah, all the PR people. And sure enough, standing in every photo is a guy with a gigantic Sarge Sucks sign. Now, I wish we had the audio of it, and maybe somebody has it somewhere. But they say, Mark, what do you think about the win? And Mark Bertrand goes, you know what? I have to say it was a great win. And then John from Vegas goes, listen, I'm glad we got to raise a lot of money for the charity. I'm so happy for the children at Tufts Medical Center. But I do want to say, Sarge sucks! Sarge sucks! Sarge sucks! Meanwhile, all these, like, Bruins...
And the Bruins people are like, no, wait a minute.
Who is Sarge and tries to get people in a chair?
No, you gotta stop that.
And then, meanwhile, Bertrand grabs the microphone and says, and I promised John from Vegas that if I ended up winning this whole thing, then I would admit that Sarge sucks on the radio. So, yes, Sarge sucks on the radio. And like, and meanwhile, once again, all these people from the Bruins, Bob Sweet, they're like, what the hell is happening? And then Sarge comes walking out of the crowd and demands to talk on the microphone. And I'm like, this has to stop. Like, already we've gone into like Twin Peaks world. Like, this is really strange. Because once again, all of these things, like, oh, Darren, it's not Tuukka Rask. It's this weird guy with a sign that says Sarge sucks who's taking the microphone and trying to start a chant. So Sarge comes up and tries to get the microphone from me. It's like, hey, hang on a minute. I got a speaker. I got a sales. Fred, you're fat. You don't know what you're talking about. And I just take the microphone away from him, like, Sarge, go away.
Well, it's funny. He goes, Fred, you're fat. And I went to respond, and Richard's like, dude,
no.
Just don't talk.
I just took both mics away. I was looking around. I could already see the weird faces of the people who had no idea what was going on. And sure enough, Sarge finally walks away, and there's John from Vegas just in the middle of it all, holding up his Sarge Sucks signs. And his troll completed... With ultimate mastery.
You can't do it any better than that.
It's to the point where last night, like, was finally the point where Sarge is at this charity thing, and there's a crowd of people, like, yelling, Sarge sucks, and a giant sign and a big moment that was, like, supposed to be this Bruins thing, that I'm like, all right. We got enough with the Sarge sucks. You can't top that.
Because Sarge took the mic and he goes, Fred, you're fat and ugly. Or something like that. And I'm like, what? And I went to say something and Rich just goes, dude, no. He's like, just don't. And I'm like, okay.
Because Sarge isn't a bad guy. And just at one point, I was like, all right, now that's done, I think we've done it. Now, Jim Gray sucks, I'd be perfectly fine with. If you want to tell the world how much that guy sucks, I'd be perfectly fine. But my God, John from Vegas, you are relentless. You are ruthless. I don't know how much money you spent off the ultimate troll job, but you did it, my friend.
He told me that his, like, fiancé is like, what the hell's wrong with you? And he's like, it's like, you know, it's like putting together model planes. He's like, this is my hobby.
Well, the other thing I learned apparently yesterday is that Sarge thinks that we pay John from Vegas to do what he does.
Oh, God.
Which, by the way, we do not. We absolutely do not.
We pay a guy.
Oh, my God. What an absolute. I mean, it was the most epic troll job. And meanwhile, as he's winning, I'm like, this is going to be so odd if, like, Bertrand and this guy end up winning the whole thing. And they did. And it couldn't have ended stranger.
All right. We will be back. Kyle Van Noy making an appearance yesterday.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Goff in the pocket. Danson pumps. He's under pressure. Goff rolling to his right. Being chased to the near side. Goff is going to be hit. Yes. And down he goes. Kyle Van Noy closing in a hurry. Another sack in the playoffs.
Cash money play by number 53, Kyle Van Noy. Awful decision by Jared Goff.
Is this PM Dawn?
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Set a trip to memory, bliss of you.
You knew they weren't going to last forever.
Just the day when you could just, like, rap over a song that's already written.
Spandau Ballet, right?
Yes.
Okay. They had that fat guy just wearing the psychedelics, like, house dress.
Yes!
Moo-moo.
PM Dawn.
Yeah, moo-moo on.
That's right.
It's like that episode where Homer Simpson tried to get disability just by getting fat. And remember, he bought, like, it was like Moomoo's or Us?
Yeah. Yes. That might be the greatest Simpsons episode of all time.
It might be.
All right, Rich, so Kyle Van Noy.
Oh, yeah. So Kyle Van Noy, obviously, just phenomenal in the postseason, and his masterwork may have been the Super Bowl, as well as the rest of the defense. But throughout the season, actually for the last several seasons, you had Max Kellerman, who was, you know, obviously had an opinion about Tom Brady falling off a cliff.
Yep.
And no matter what Tom Brady does or how well he plays, he continues to double down because, you know what? It's good for Max Kellerman.
And eventually, if he hangs on the air long enough, it will actually happen. And he can say, hey, see?
Sure.
I told you.
If the players are carrying a sign with you, your face with the clown nose,
it's working.
Good. Oh, yeah. You've won.
Yeah. You've absolutely won. People are talking about you. And once again, I keep saying it. It's that guy sucks so much that I can't wait to tune in to hear how much he sucks.
Exactly. Like, and then you become, like, legitimate. Like, the players, you're takes are so important to the players,
yep,
that they use it as motivation. That's mm-hmm. like kind of like we've said before when Thornton after the Stanley Cup said, you suck it, Felger.
Yeah. It was it was one of the best things that could have happened to Felger.
Right, absolutely.
So yesterday, Kyle Van Noy, and he actually had Sony Michel with him too, but that doesn't really matter because Kyle Van Noy was the star. By the way, Kyle Van Noy, I've been saying this for a while now, he's one of the best interviews, like, on the radio.
All you have to do is listen to Bertrand and Zolak.
When he's with Bertrand and Zolak, he's excellent. And I remember last year's Super Bowl, I interviewed him, and I walked away, and we'd never talked to Kyle Van Noy. You didn't really hear him talk that much. I remember walking away going, that dude's really funny. This guy kind of gets it. He's a ball buster. He's got a great sense of humor. But he went on, what is it? God, I keep forgetting the name. First Take. He was on First Take and was able to finally talk to Max Kellerman. And once again, Van Noy was just fantastic.
What do you have to say to Mr. Kellerman about all the motivation he provided you with?
Oh, real quick, stop it.
Right
before that, they showed a picture of the sign that had Max Kellerman's face with the clown nose on it.
And now Kellerman can't stand up because he's aroused.
Yes, without a doubt. You're right, Fred.
What do you have to say to Mr. Kellerman about all the motivation he provided you with?
I mean, first of all, I didn't have that sign. So if I had that sign, I'd probably have threw it in the trash because that's just giving him too much credit. Now, because there's other people that probably deserve it more. I mean, yeah, Rob Parker, that should be moving to Mexico right now because he said we couldn't beat the Chiefs. So there's a couple others, but, you know, we just enjoy everybody that doubted us. And thank you, Max.
Yes, I was waiting for that. A simple thank you would have been fine. Let me say congratulations, even though it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But nevertheless, as usual, the Patriots are either in the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. Take your pick this year. It's win the Super Bowl. Kyle, I take back what I said about rather having Rivers than Brady. Obviously, that was wrong. But I stand by Patrick Mahomes. He outplayed your guy. Tom Brady threw an interception to end the AFC Championship game. Pre-snap penalty, you got the ball back. What do you say about that?
We won the Super Bowl. You can't say nothing. I mean, you can sit here and argue with me all you want. At the end of the day, he's the GOAT, and we won another Super Bowl. And just the look on your smile says it all.
But just the look on your smile says it all. It's like, yo, what do you think about that? Well, we won the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
So, all right.
So Mahomes outplayed me in the second half, and we won the Super Bowl.
We got the Super Bowl, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But seriously, Tom, like, you know, in the past, in the not-too-distant past, Tom Brady was used to sometimes cover up for other, like, no football team is perfect, for other imperfections on the team. Throughout your run this year, Kyle, you played lights out. Sony, you were, you know, I said you played lights out.
Okay.
You were great. I give credit where it's due. Sony, the running game was no joke. You know, like, you guys relied on your defense and your run game. And, yeah, Tom Brady in the big moments, you got to give it to him. He's clutch. But throughout a lot of that game, not the same guy. Are you telling me I'm wrong about Brady being in decline?
Yeah, I'll take his wet noodle arm any day. He's good at what he does. He is an excellent communicator. He's excellent at what he does. He gets everybody orchestrated and runs the offense to the best of his ability with Josh McDaniels. And for him to have on the other side with Sony and the other weapons we have at receiver, we know as a defense, we just got to keep giving them the ball. Any chance we can get the ball back in their arms, we know they're going to eventually score. And that's exactly what they did in the Super Bowl. We knew if we kept getting stops, we knew they were going to score, and they eventually did, and we win the game again.
Sony, I want to talk to you. When you got drafted, a lot of people said you might be the steal of the draft.
He's so mad.
This really annoys me.
Who thought Sony Michel was the steal of the draft?
I don't know if anyone thought he was the steal of the draft.
I don't remember.
Did she just say that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
By the way, the best thing that I've read so far is that you should never pay a running back because of, and you look at Gurley, and they gave him all that money.
But isn't that kind of like, isn't that, people had that attitude for like the last like 5 years or so? Hasn't that been the trend? I mean, you can't give these guys massive contracts.
No, I know, but they did. They gave Gurley one, and someone's going to give Le'Veon Bell a huge contract too.
The Jets.
Oh, God, if they do that.
They're one of like the three teams I keep hearing being named.
I mean, so you're going to get an older running back with a million miles on him, and you're for a team that can't make the playoffs? Good. That's fantastic. That's money well spent.
It's not even the roughing the passer penalty that was nonsense that gave you 15 yards and a first down and kept that drive alive against the Chiefs. No, it's not just stuff like that. It's the fact that somehow, Belichick picks you up late in the first round, Sony Michel, and Kyle Van Noy. Like, he could go in with a gun and a mask to get... What did you get traded for? A sixth-round pick or something?
I got traded for pennies, man.
It's not
even... Like, Van Noy was no good in Detroit. He wasn't.
Well, I mean, it's kind of what Bert said.
It's, again, a testament to Bill Belichick. It's annoying. Testament to Bill
Belichick. Like, right, anyone, like, he's able to just like turn anything into a star.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, they got Kyle Van Noy, congratulations.
And then all of a sudden, and then kills it.
Yeah, then he's one of the most important people on the defense.
Even right that Belichick can rob the people in the draft, other teams. Do you feel like when you heard you were getting traded to the Patriots, what were you thinking?
I finally get to play chess and not checkers, baby. I mean, to get traded and play for a coach like him and then to play with elite players that they have here is a dream come true. And I'm playing next to one of the best up-and-coming running backs, if not the best right now.
Oh, please.
Well, I mean,
he's standing. I know.
Even Kellerman says something here.
Yeah, he's sitting right there. I mean, come on.
Calm down, but no doubt he's great. Yep.
Yeah, well, calm down. What you mean?
That's what I mean.
Did you watch the postseason?
Yes. Sony Michel is excellent.
All right,
listen, let me just congratulate you both. The fact is that your outstanding play clearly overcame Tom Brady's decline, and yet, so you won another Super Bowl. Congratulations.
That's all right. Just enjoy another year of talking about Tom again.
There you go. Excellent. Excellent job by Kyle Van Noy.
A little, I just praise Kyle Van Noy. I'm going to say that let's not go crazy about Sony Michel. Sony Michel seems like a nice kid. He seems like a good guy.
I like it, but Kyle Van Noy's answers were the best. It was like, hey, did you see him in the postseason? Saquon wasn't there.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's why they should have never taken Saquon second. All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Rondo into Ingram. Ingram will walk it up into the front court. 8 seconds to go. Ingram to his right behind the Chandler screen. Starts his drive past Horford. Reverses it up. Blocked by Horford. Loose ball. Pinballed around. Rondo for the game. He got it. The ball bounces to Rajon Rondo, who hits from the left elbow. And the Los Angeles Lakers have scored a stunning buzzer-beating win in Boston.
Wow. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick.
Nice and smooth. I expected more from them. I mean, these rhymes are lame, but this song rules.
Sometimes there can be songs with bad rappers that are all right. Sometimes the production will take you through it.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, if you listen to these rhymes, they're really bad.
I mean, listen, it's no CNC Music Factory.
No, the worst...
Take the time and call for yours. I'll knock them back on the dance floor.
The worst one that I still hate is...
Snap?
Yes.
Or I will attack, and you don't want that.
Yes, that is... And that, how did that get airplay?
Oh, the song's kind of catchy.
It was the theme of a karate movie. What was it? What movie? What is this movie?
Yeah, it's Deuce
Chills. I got the power.
Jeff Speakman.
Oh, the perfect weapon?
That's it.
I knew it.
by the way.
You asked me Jess Pinkman movies, I give you the perfect weapon.
It is.
Within two crafts.
That was the theme okay. of that movie.
Yeah. I don't want to promote, but Rich, I'm so excited about this, as you know. And then we're going to start talking about the Celtics.
Danny Ainge, by the way, in 20 minutes.
Yes. The Eddie Trunk podcast.
Yes, I know, this is pretty funny.
Now, if you don't know who Eddie Trunk is, according to him, he's an incredibly important guy who does, he loves metal, and he does like a million shows about metal.
Mm-hmm.
So, so he introduces this. He's like, yeah, I'm in Cabo. You know, first time in 40 years, Deep Purple are allowing someone to introduce them. Oh, those guys are in their mid-70s.
Sure.
And then he's like, today, very special guest, Kix, remastered remixed Blow My Fuse. And we're going to have an hour-long conversation.
Imagine an hour-long conversation with the guys who made Blow My Fuse.
And he's like, you know, Blow My Fuse is a seminal record.
I do actually like interviews with like completely obscure people who like are obsessed with their interviewee.
Oh, when
I don't even care what it's about. It could be someone who like is a lint collector.
Well, no, but Eddie Trunk once had Saxon on the band Saxon on the That Metal Show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know this is going to be impossible, but I put out 3 Saxon records. Can you put them in order of how much you like them?
Awesome. I mean, that's great. I might have to listen to that. I'm going to. I promise you I will. But yesterday, a kick in the nuts. Although, it being Rondo, it wasn't quite as bad. Because if anyone's going to do it, you didn't want, like, stupid Kyle Kuzma or of course, LeBron James. But the fact that Rondo did it, lessens the blow a little bit. It's a game they shouldn't have lost. They were up by 18 in the second.
They were up 6 points with 1:24 to go.
Yeah, and
no
and then
excuse for that.
And the Lakers just
two
couldn't
lucky
miss.
Ass plays.
I mean, the perimeter defense for the Celtics was just. I mean, they to allow 22 3-pointers.
I told you this earlier. Some of the defense they closed out well. I mean, some of those threes were contested. The Lakers got on a run and they made every three they took in the third quarter to get them back in the game. And then it came down to two incredibly lucky plays in the last minute.
But you know what's weird? I don't even really care as much about yesterday's game. There's a lot of people are freaking out a ton about it. I mean, they've won 10 of the last 12, and there's been good teams in there. Like, I mean, Oklahoma City and things like that. You know, you're just going to every once in a while face a team. And by the way, that team has LeBron James on it, and he's playing.
Right.
But you every once in a while face a team that just gets just hotter than the sun, like they were yesterday. Now, it sucks that that's a team that lost by 40 the last game that they played. So it's not like anything to, like, you know, really feel good about. But the fact that Anthony Davis is still a Pelican should warm the hearts of many Celtics fans. Now, there are a ton of people. So, like, I posted something kind of silly yesterday that just had a picture of Anthony Davis. And I said, 3:01 p.m. and still a Pelican. Hello, sweet prince. Because this essentially means that Danny Ainge, the Celtics are going to get him. I mean, it's almost a certainty now because they've sat on their hands. Unless
there is
somebody gets the number one pick and, like, you know, they want Zion Williams or something crazy like that.
Please, Zion Williams.
Well, I mean, but that's the only other reality that I can think of because most everyone else isn't going to have, like, a ton more to trade.
Zion Williams is too small. But I'll tell you that he is. He can't shoot and he's 6'8".
Is it Williamson or Williams?
Williamson.
Okay, that's what I thought. Williams.
I'm sorry, Williamson. He's 6'8 and can't shoot. He's an electric dunker. I will give you that.
Very athletic.
He's exceptionally athletic.
But very athletic.
But he can rebound at a college level.
But there are a ton of people who, after I posted that underneath it, were like, yeah, no thanks, Anthony Davis. He doesn't want to be here. Yeah, you know what? I want a player who wants to be here. Yeah, nice try. Keep dreaming. And to that I say, it's not just about Anthony Davis at this point. To me, I believe in order to secure Kyrie Irving to sign an extension, you have to get Anthony Davis. So let's say you give up Jason Tatum and you give up some of these other players and some of your draft picks, and maybe Anthony Davis does follow his word and he stays here for only a year and leaves. That trade of Jason Tatum and all those guys guaranteed you that you're going to have Kyrie Irving for another 5 years or 4 years. And to me, that's worth it.
Well, the Knicks traded Porzingis so they could get Kyrie. I mean, that's the take.
In the hopes, well, yes.
It's not
they
just
cleared
Kyrie.
Out two max cap slots.
There's like 18 great players that are going to be available this offseason. So it's not just him. I mean, if it's not Kyrie, we're going to try to get Durant.
Maybe
we can get Kawhi Leonard.
But you understand the point. The Knicks would prefer, in the list, the order of free agents, Kyrie Irving's in their top two or three. They made this move in the hopes that if Kyrie springs free, they are in a position to sign him. Would you agree with that?
Sure. But I also think that the only thing that could lead to disaster for the Celtics is if they sign Anthony Davis and Kyrie doesn't re-sign, and after a year, Anthony Davis leaves.
Well, that's the problem.
But I think that the percentage chance of that happening is very low. I think if you get Anthony Davis on this team, Kyrie Irving's going to stay. And that seems to be the belief.
The discussion has already been made.
Yep. And
the discussion has already taken place. I think everyone's on the same page. And Danny seems really confident. Now, he's confident. That's his default setting anyway. And Chris Mannix has been on here and said as much, and we'll talk to Danny at 9 o'clock. He's always confident, but I get the feeling the more we talk to him and the more I read, he knows a lot of things that none of us know.
And that is such an underplayed angle in all of this. Everyone's like, well, Anthony Davis doesn't want to be here. Besides the point that Kevin Garnett didn't immediately want to be here when he got traded for. So there's a lot of different players that can be convinced to stick around. However, also the fact that people are saying Anthony Davis is going to want to leave after that year and go to the Lakers. Does he? Because LeBron James is going to be a year older after that. Like, he's a year and a half older.
And the supporting cast won't necessarily be any better. And the other thing that has been discussed a little bit is that now that the deadline has passed, I think you're going to hear a lot less from Anthony Davis's father, from his agent. The whole reason all of this was put forth was to diminish all other offers.
Yep.
You know, the Celtics aren't going to be for you. Make the Laker offer look better.
Yep.
And now that the Lakers didn't get him, I think Davis will be more open. You won't hear as much of Davis not signing with the Celtics anymore. And I think, give Ainge credit, he knew this right from the start.
Well, look at Kawhi Leonard, how he kicked and screamed about not wanting to go to Toronto, and he was like bitching and moaning. And the minute he gets to Toronto, he's like, hey, you know what?
I heard
kind of like Toronto.
I heard a Toronto guy who hosts Morning Drive in Toronto Sports Radio, for whatever that's worth, with Amy Lawrence overnight. The Toronto fans are still convinced he's leaving.
Well, I am too.
Toronto fans are, especially after the Clippers cleared out that max cap spot with their last trade. Yeah, yeah. He wanted to go to the Clippers originally. I think Toronto fans think they have Kawhi for this year. They got one swing at this, and then Kawhi's leaving.
But you agree, if Danny Ainge makes that trade for Anthony Davis in the offseason, then your chances of re-signing Kyrie Irving to an extension is at least 80 to 85%.
As I told you before, I think the conversation's already been had. Yep. I think Kyrie is going to follow through on his promise, and Danny Ainge wins again.
And
that is my belief.
And that's why you got to make that trade. You have to do it. And it sucks because I agree with everyone else. I'm like, Fred, I think Jason Tatum's going to be special. And I see what Jaylen Brown is doing, and he's putting stuff together, and he's starting to look really good as well. And it's going to hurt because
ultimately, if you manage to keep Jaylen Brown, that's a good thing. If Gordon Hayward, I mean, maybe we're all right about this, that Hayward needs a year and a half to recover from this, and he'll be a much different player next year. If all of those things happen, you have a chance to win a title. Right now, the team as constituted right now, certainly good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe get to the NBA Finals. But if you want to beat Golden State, you need Anthony Davis.
I just got a tweet. You Celtics Bobos are cute. What if Kyrie leaves? What if Danny lowballs the Pelicans like he does most?
No.
Dude, the deal's already been made.
No.
I guarantee you, essentially the deal has... Do you think the Pelicans would have sat on their hands if they didn't think that Danny Ainge was going to give them whatever
they
wanted?
Danny Ainge spent the last 3 years making trades to make this particular move. He's wanted Anthony Davis for a year and a half, but he's accumulated these assets to make this one big move. He is more than happy to deal guys like Jason Tatum to get a guy like Anthony Davis, who's one of the best five players in the NBA.
Yeah, because he knows Tatum's hit his ceiling.
Well, you know who
kind of teed that right up for you, didn't I?
Well, listen, if you want
to
know,
he's willing to get rid of him for a rental. I mean, he is.
Well, all I know is that
he is technically. That's true.
As locked in on the game as a lot of people were last night, because it was a fun game. I mean, LeBron James, anytime he takes on the Celtics, it's fun to watch. The best villain in sports, in my opinion. However, there was one person who was more dialed in than any of us, and that was Cedric Maxwell during the broadcast last night.
Why are you calling me right now?
Somebody just call you during the game?
Huh? Robo call. No way.
Yeah.
Why do you answer unidentified calls?
Might be who wants to be a millionaire. Could be calling me.
Somebody's lifeline.
I don't
hey,
answer.
Guess what? If you're their lifeline, it's not going to end well anyway.
Could be. No, I give them some good answers. Especially if we're talking about, like, things that kill each other.
Lakers win the jump ball. Here's LeBron.
Okay. So not only does he answer the phone during the game, but I believe, Wallach, you texted Sean Grady and said, did Max just get a phone call during the game and answer it?
Yeah, I texted Sean after I heard about this. I texted him. I said, did Max answer the phone during the first half of the movie? He goes, yeah, period. And that was all. And I said, why? And Grady texted back, why not?
What does he say at the end, especially if it's about people killing each other?
I thought about this. I have an answer for you. There was like 2 or 3, 4 years ago, we were doing a blowout game. Was it the Cleveland game? It was another blowout game. And Max brought up the National Geographic Channel. And it was just like, okay. And we had a discussion for about 10 minutes on which killed more humans last year, a hippo or a lion. Max is into this kind of thing. So I think this might be a nod toward National Geographic and the battles in the wild.
Very macabre.
Yes.
Cedric Maxwell.
By the way, the hippo killed more people than a lion last year.
No, that's interesting.
That was an upset.
Not a lot of people. A lot of people falling into the zoo. All right. We will be joined by Danny Ainge at 9.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, this is just the worst.
Quality. I possess those same fresh cuts. My voice will do the rest. All the vines will whip on back. Attack front to back in this thing called rap.
Oh, come on. You tell me these guys have skills?
Bang the bass.
Turn off the treble. Radical
mind. He's also getting shacked.
7, 4, 6, 5, 5. Maniac, brainiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James.
Doesn't he just do the same thing over and over again?
That's when it goes into the quality.
I possess, don't sing a fresh, cause my voice will soothe the rest on the microphone that I am holding. Copywritten lyrics so they can't be stolen if they call snap. No legal police, they're trying to play off my voice. We'll see no peace. Stay off my back, cause I will attack and you don't want that.
So that is the worst ending to a verse ever. And you don't want that.
That's right.
And bad stuff will happen. Or you're going to get shenanigans.
Nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. By the way, we're on Twitch each and every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch the show live. You can also get the Twitch app to any of your various stores.
We are getting these tweets like, I am not trading Tatum. Tatum is off the table. I'm like, well, you might not, but Danny is.
Yeah, Danny's definitely
trading. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, yeah. So it's basically, it's a done deal. That's what you're saying. Yeah. How would you know? Well, because they didn't trade. Like, I mean, the fact that Anthony Davis is still a Pelican and that all of the reports are that there's essentially a wink-wink handshake type of deal with the Celtics, I would say that indicates that there's a pretty good certainty that the Celtics are going to make this trade.
What this says is that Del Demps is actually a quality NBA executive.
Yes.
That he didn't take the crap that the LA Lakers were feeding him in the hurry to make a deal. This is why he called Danny before the deadline and said, all right, I want some guarantees. And Danny said, well, I can't guarantee I'll trade you Tatum, but
it'll be explosive.
I'll make it worth your while.
Right.
So, yeah, Del Demps knows what he's doing. You don't, I mean, the Clippers didn't have anything to deal him. The Knicks were off the table because the Knicks traded everything in the Dallas and Porzingis deal.
They sent
four rotational guys.
Can we start with this?
Dallas.
Here's our tweet. Does anyone in Boston even want Davis? Do you not watch this guy play? Do you not realize that he is, if not top five, or maybe even a top three player in this league?
He is a top five player in this league. He is an athletic center who averages double-double and can shoot threes. He is an extremely good player. And I know the afternoon show tends to slow play this a little bit. So, oh, he's hurt all the time. I don't know. I don't want him on my team. I want him on my team. I want this guy playing for the Celtics. He's that good.
Well, Danny Ainge will tell us what he's going to give up for him.
Sure.
He's going to reveal the package right here on the Toucher and Rich Show.
One thing, though, is that, the 76ers got better, and Milwaukee certainly got better, so this year is a little bit up in the air.
No faith in the Sixers. As long as they've got Jimmy Butler on that
Toronto
team.
Toronto got Gasol, yeah.
The bench for the Sixers is a massive concern. They didn't address that at all. They got a better starting five, but as we saw during the playoffs, Fred, we discussed this, the bench matters. You got to get guys to come in off the bench and do something. Sixers don't have guys like that.
All right. Danny Ainge is going to join us, and he will answer each and every question. He's always very forthcoming. And we will talk to him. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.